like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
All right, so that Brittany Griner thing, we hit that in one of the Lunch Rushes last week. But basically, you know, they were upset. The Phoenix Mercury were upset because they were in the airport. Brittany Griner was getting, I don't know, she's calling it harassed. Reporters were asking questions. I didn't get into the weeds too much on that. But basically, they have addressed the issue now, and they're not going to be flying commercial anymore. They're going to be doing charter flights. Brittany Griner said, I'll say this. I think we should have already had the option to use a different airline, a more private airline. Charter flights, Griner said, without specifying exactly what the Mercury are doing now. It's a shame that it had to get to rock bottom, because I feel like waiting for something to happen and then making a change, you don't know what that something's going to be. We've all seen what can happen in this world. And when you play the let's wait and see game, you're really playing with fire. You're playing with people's lives. Was she threatened? Did she get attacked? I mean, I just read, Angel, that she was basically being, I don't know, the most extreme I'll go here is harassed by media members. She would. And the other thing I look at on this side of it, too, is like, I'm sorry, but the charter flight thing, like all that, that's pretty expensive. Can the WNBA afford? I don't know. I'm asking the question. I can't imagine they're rolling in the dough over there.
No. So according to the report, she was harassed by a YouTuber who had just approached her and started asking her questions related to Putin and Russia.
And so that is like, oh, my gosh. Things are going to get really bad. We all know what can happen in this world when a YouTuber walks up to you.
Well, I mean, you see these stupid kids on YouTube. They'll run up to you out of nowhere with a camera in your face and a microphone. Say, hey, answer
stuff.
These random questions. Yeah. It could be very like, what the hell are you doing? Get away from me. I'm trying to get on a flight.
Yeah, no, and I get it. Annoying, but dangerous? Just as dangerous as walking outside of your house, I suppose.
They do have security guards with them while they're traveling.
Yeah, so that wasn't enough, apparently. So now they got a private, they're getting private planes and charter flights.
No one's going up to 6 feet plus tall women to harass them.
I can't imagine that they're really trying to pick fights, but Brittany Griner.
Don't underestimate the stupidity of people.
I get that, but I don't know. It just sounds kind of like we can't be. She's making it sound like a lot worse happened before, you know, a YouTuber walked up to her and asked her questions.
It's cheaper than a plane. A bus.
Yeah. You're going to get a
bus.
Buy
yourself
now.
A bus and drive to your next game.
And again, does the WNBA make a lot of money? I mean, the NBA has to float the WNBA money to keep it going. They probably had to float them more now for the charter. I'm just being honest. Watch a game and tell me they're making money.
Yeah, I mean, the plane that the Nuggets used, how do we know that's not Josh Kroenke's private plane? He owns it.
Yeah, it takes a lot of money to do all this stuff. A lot of money. Yeah. Surprise, surprise, Derek Carr was pretty upset with the situation in Las Vegas. He told he told the Fresno Bee, because of the Fresno State situation, I was, for lack of a better term, I was very upset. I was mad. You spend 9 years in a place, you have all the records, and you can play at a high level, and for something to get in the way, whether it was whatever reason, money related or whatever, injury related, I would have said I don't even want the money just to play two more times in front of our fans. I didn't get that opportunity. So it definitely lit a little fire inside me to keep going. That was one of the more Josh McDaniels-y type things. Have a good... Is this Derek Carr? Where is he? Is he... As far as tiers.
He's a tier...
Tier two?
I'd say three.
Tier three?
Three because of the last few years.
So tier three is kind of good, not great?
He's a very good starting quarterback.
So, but for him to be treated that way, kind of discarded by Josh McDaniels, it was strange. And they just benched him at the end. They're like, yeah, we don't even we don't even want to tease fans with some good play here because we're done with Derek Carr.
Well, I mean, the Raiders fans, they love Derek Carr. Like, that was their guy.
Yeah, it didn't. None of it made sense. And Devontae Adams comes to really part of the reason he wanted to sign with the Raiders, or go to the Raiders, excuse me, was because Derek Carr. And that was a lot of it, because am I right here? Devontae Adams was a free agent. He signed with the Raiders in free agency. He wasn't traded.
Yes.
So he could have signed with Green Bay. He loves Aaron Rodgers, but he knew, he kind of saw the writing on the wall, which now, more evident than ever, Rodgers basically said, dude, if you're going to stay in Green Bay because of me, don't do it. I'm either retiring or I'm going to figure out a trade to get out of here. And that turned out, it kind of looks like Rodgers did the right thing by Adams. So Adams goes to Vegas because the next best thing to Aaron Rodgers is his boy from Fresno State. Let's go tear that back up, man. Let's reload that. And then they ship Derek Carr out of Dodge. So this is Josh McDaniels, man. This is what he did in Denver. And I thought he learned from it. I actually said this because Josh McDaniels was not laughed out of here. Hackett was laughed out of here. McDaniels was chased out of here with pitchforks because of what he did, the way he did it. Hackett will at least get, yeah, good guy, just clueless right now. Maybe McDaniels came in and said, I'm bringing the Patriot way here, and we're doing it today. We're doing it my way. He was the GM slash coach. You know, Pat Bowlen hired him to do both of those. He basically took Mike Shanahan's role. And you got rid of Jay Cutler. No, I mean, say what you want about Jay Cutler, but he had talent. Let me ask you this, Angel. I don't know how much you followed everything back then because you were probably quite a bit younger. Jay Cutler or Kyle Orton, who you taking? You have one game to win to save your life.
My dad was a Bears fan, so I got plenty of Jay Cutler expletives yelled at the screen.
Yeah, but at least Jay Cutler.
I watched Kyle Orton for like maybe one or two games when he was with Kansas City. Oh God, probably Kyle Orton.
Oh really? Yeah. I thought you'd go Jay Cutler easy. Anyway,
no,
I'm taking Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler,
I get it. If you're a Bears fan, you probably are really sour on him,
especially after that contract they gave him.
But he had something, and when he was with the Broncos, he was, I felt like, still kind of on the rise. Not a huge rise, but Josh McDaniels comes in. He wants Matt Cassel. They can't get Matt Cassel. He ends up going to Kansas City. So then he trades Jay Cutler for Kyle Orton. And then he ultimately ends up trading, you know, he forces Brandon Marshall out of town, and that was for the Peyton Hillis situation. Who was the tight end that they had? Tony Scheffler forced him out of town. And then he goes to the Raiders, and I'm thinking, because I said this when he was fired. I said, I think Josh McDaniels can still be a really good coach. He just can't be given all of it at once. You can't be given the general manager power and the coaching power. But I think he's going to come in and just focus on the coaching. Well, he comes in and can't get it right with Derek Carr. And that's, I'm not saying Derek Carr is upper echelon, but deserved better than the situation he was given with the Las Vegas Raiders. Last story here, Damian Lillard trade rumors. What do you make of this whole Damian Lillard thing? That's all I've got. It's just literally the headline, because I want to talk about it.
It's typical national media trying to find stories to make up.
Does he want out?
No.
Does he want...
Damian Lillard, for the longest time, has said, I want to be in Portland. I want to stay with this team. I don't want to go... I don't want to wear any other jersey than this one.
But would you agree he's still somewhat cryptic on some of his social media stuff?
Sure. You know, if you get where he's at in his career and, you know, you see it with Chris Paul, you don't want to become the next guy that was super great and awesome. Everyone loved him, but he never won a title. So we just put him down lower because of that, just like Chris Paul. So you see that with his age, the frustration with the organization the last few years when they've kind of been, you know, even back, what was it, 2018 against the Nuggets, where you thought these are two teams that are going to be here for a while. And then they trade McCollum, Nurkic gets hurt, and all that happens. So I get the frustration where you want to win a title before you retire. But also, I admire Dame because of his loyalty to Portland.
Yeah,
and that's one of his best qualities, is a player that wants to stay there no matter what.
Yeah, NBA Central said Damian Lillard hasn't requested a trade and plans to wait around to see what Portland does in free agency. Also from NBA Central, I saw that a dream scenario for him would be Jeremy Grant and Draymond Green. I mean, while we're dreaming, you might as well dream big. I mean, not there.
Sure.
Don't go there. Is that it? Would that be what gets it done? You pair those guys together with, I would assume, Yusuf Nurkic comes back to Portland? Damian Lillard is one of the more interesting case studies in the NBA, because I agree with you. I love that he's loyal, because it's something different. You know, Joker's a loyal guy, but they're obviously winning, and they won a championship.
He's the Carmelo story if he stays in Denver.
Yeah, he's one of the better players in the league. I love that he was in the Big Sky Conference. I love all those things about him. But there is a part of me that just, I don't want to say feels bad, but it's like the Todd Helton thing with the Rockies. Everybody applauds Todd Helton for that, and rightfully so. It's unique. It speaks a lot to your character, and it's great. But there is that part of me that's like, dude, you're one of the best first basemen. Go somewhere else and win a World Series. Damian Lillard, you're one of the best players in this game. Go get yours. But again, I still value that, admire the loyalty thing, but...
But how much backlash did KD get when he went to Golden State?
True.
Would it turn into then...
Damian's would be different.
Would it?
Yeah.
Or would it be Damian was struggling forever, and he went to not a super team, but he went to a team with all-stars, and he finally won a title?
I feel like Damian has been... Okay, so how long was KD with OKC before he went to Golden State?
He was there his whole career. He was drafted by Seattle. I think they were only there for a year, and then went to Golden State in, 2016?
Yeah, he was with the Thunder for a while. Yeah. How old is Damian Lillard? You know, like, is he...
I'm going to say 30-something?
Is he 34? Does that 32. Sound right? 32? I don't know why. It just feels different with Damian Lillard. Then I guess with OKC, it felt like they had their time. I don't think Portland was ever in a real window with Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. I don't know if they were in a window.
I would say from 16 to 18.
They were in a championship window?
No, maybe not championship, but more of a potential challenging. Because obviously it was Golden State and everybody else at that time.
Yeah, I never felt like, oh, Portland's the team to beat. Knew they were a good team, an upper
echelon
team.
They were a team you didn't want to face in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I didn't pick them to win a title. And that, you know, Dame was good, but still didn't do it.
They needed the right pieces after that playoff year.
I guess with OKC, it's like you had KD, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. So you had it. And then as that broke up, everybody dispersed. Russ stayed. See, Russ, I don't knock as much either for moving around. He didn't want to move around. He was going to stay loyal to the Thunder, and then they kind of screwed him over. Dame, I do feel different. It's a good point, because what would be the difference between KD and Dame? I feel like he's been through the ringer with Portland.
It just feels like there's three paths that he could take in terms of comparing to previous players. It's the Chris Paul path, it's the Melo path, or it's the KD path. And
Are three of those kind of the same? Because
CP3 is the guy that doesn't have a ring, maybe.
Oh yeah,
KD is the guy that left his team
to go get a ring,
and Melo is the guy that left his team to get a ring but never got it.
Yeah, okay, I see where you're going.
So I think Lillard is contemplating one of those three paths,
or the Cross Sports Reference, or Todd Helton,
sure.
And stay with the same team and just never get anything to show for it.
But you have the loyalty of your entire fan base forever.
No, he won't ever have to pay for a meal in Portland ever again, I guess. Like, that would be... But it does seem like he is getting more vocal, just on Twitter and stuff. Just more like, you know, hey, loyal ain't going anywhere, but come on.
Oh, I think it's negotiations with his agent, and they're trying to... They're saying they're giving Portland the time to work out a trade if they can, but I also think they're putting pressure on Portland to say, you figure this stuff out because I only have a few years left with you if I'm staying. So if I'm staying, I need 100% commitment. We're pushing for a title.
Yeah, well, and he was one of those players, Angel, in the midseason when we're talking, you know, like, would he work out with the Joker? You know, we talked about that. Like, who would you rather have, Jamal or Dame? Today.
Today?
Yeah.
Jamal's what? Do that to me.
Jamal's 27?
Yes. Yeah, Jamal because he's younger, but if you had asked me that 5 years ago, I'd have said Dame.
About 2 years ago.
Probably still Dame, yeah. Before Murray's injury.
If you would have asked me 3 months ago, I might have said Dame. Probably would have said Dame. Not damn, Dame. But what I saw in the playoffs, again, I'm a broken record, but at his best, he looked like Kobe Bryant.
Jamal?
Yeah.
Yep. Now, no, I mean, Lillard in the playoffs is terrifying. He's up there with Steph Curry in terms of killer threes.
Shooting from Wisconsin. Right. I mean, he can shoot it from wherever. But what I saw with Jamal, and this is what I hope he really... See, we've got all these guys in the offseason that have to take the next step. Jamal's next step is do it 90% of the time. 10% of the time, I know you're just not going to have it, but don't do it 50% of the time. Because 50% of the time, you're Kobe Bryant. 50% of the time, you're a good player. You're Jimmy Butler. You're regular season Jimmy Butler. Or finals Jimmy Butler. Finals Jimmy Butler disappeared. But yeah, I would take Jamal. Do you ever wonder, now, maybe we'll never find this out until it's all said and done, until 20 years from now, 10 years from now, who Tim Conley and the Nuggets could have got for Jamal Murray? Because we were told that it was Michael Malone that fought to keep Jamal, that Tim Conley said, we can get something for Jamal, a relatively good player for Jamal. And it was Malone that put his foot down. Who the hell was that player? Was it a Damian Lillard type?
I could see flashback a few years ago. Jamal doesn't get hurt. They still get bounced in the second round, and then they make that trade.
But then he gets hurt. And do you think Malone gave in to his human side and was feeling bad for Jamal? Because Jamal, we know, was in tears.
Sure, I mean, as a coach, you don't. If you see a player go through something like that, your first instinct is not to, you know, make them worry more, but to console them and assure them, hey, don't worry. Even if it was just for that moment, hey, we're not trading you. You're our guy. We love you and all that. That's the first thing you want to say to a player, not, oh God, I hope you can get through this. Or we might not be here next year.
Yeah, I just wonder. You know, you look at all these players. You look at guys like Dame, and you feel for him, and you're like, man, that's a great player that might be wasted in his career. You might waste this career of his. And there's a lot of guys, unfortunately, that get that. 23 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear local coaches, players, and more with Coach Speak. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 28 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Angel, the Rooks got their numbers yesterday. And normally, you know, we had this debate about numbers and how they're changing them in the NFL, so anybody can wear any number they want. And I said, I'm not a big numbers guy. However, I kind of tend to like this argument. You and I didn't have time to go over it yesterday because it just came out, who's going to be wearing what. It does kind of, it's kind of fun because you can like just go through the guys that wore that jersey number and we can figure out who was the best. Julian Strother is going to be wearing number 3. Jalen Pickett's going to be wearing number 24. Hunter Tyson's going to be wearing number 4. So it got me thinking, like, who are the best to wear those numbers? So number 3, you got Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who was obviously a really good Nugget, a well-known Nugget from 91 to 94. Dale Ellis, I remember him now. Monty Williams. Oh, I forgot about that. Tracy Murray, no. DeMar Johnson, I remember him, but no. Allen Iverson wore number 3. Ty Lawson wore number 3. Mike Miller wore number 3. Torrey Craig wore number 3. And most recently, Bones Highland.
Busy.
Busy Bones. Who was the best to wear number 3? Was it Ty Law? I mean, again, as a nugget. Now, Iverson obviously is the best of all those guys. But who's on your list? Who's the best number 3 as a nugget in history?
For me, it's Ty Lawson.
Yeah, Ty was a stud, man.
He was number 3 when I first became a Nuggets fan, so
That is one of the more disappointing stories with him. I met him at a media day. So freaking nice. Such a cool guy. Really, you know, eye contact when you're talking to him and doing the interviews, and he was just really thoughtful. Yeah, he was great. And then watching him play, he was so quick, so fast, and just couldn't separate the party scene. Couldn't handle both. You know, like Allen Iverson, you hear, would go out till 4 in the morning and show up at practice at 6, but somehow could find the balance. Ty Lawson got into some trouble and was driving and all that stuff. I mean, it's just bad. But so you go Ty Lawson. Iverson really had, I mean, he was a good scorer, but when he was a Nugget, obviously he was a good scorer in his career. It just had it had an easy feel to it where I was like, this is too easy. This is too good to be true. Because Melo and Iverson, they're just going to score 100 points or between the two of them every game. And I never really bought into this is going to yield a championship. This is actually going to work out. And so I'm going to go with you. My favorite number 3. I don't know statistically if that's right, but I would go Ty Lawson as well.
Oh, my favorite?
Yeah.
Is Bones.
Really? Over Ty?
The best, in my opinion, is Ty.
But your favorite was Bones still, even though he turned out to be a...
First-year Bones.
So
first-year Bones was the best.
He was a rookie. He was
incredible.
He's new to the scene. He starstruck. He was great. He was a good teammate. Second-year Bones.
I mean, he rocked that number 3. He made it his own.
He did. How about number 4? I mean, I'm really excited about Jalen Pickett, so he'll probably be the great number 4. I'm like high expectations for this guy, more so than Strother at this stage. Let's go through some notable number 4s. Ooh, well, Chauncey in his first stint with the Nuggets. Now, don't get confused. A lot of people look at that and go, wait, because he wore 7 his second stint. Chauncey's there, but this was bad version of Chauncey. So you got to be careful. This is while they were a Nugget. He was with the Nuggets first, and then he went to Detroit and became a great player and won a title, and then came to Denver and was really good. Anthony Carter, he was on the bench with Miami as a coach just recently. Kenyon Martin, Randy Foy, remember Randy Foy, good shooter for a moment. Paul Millsap, arguably at the time, the greatest free agent pickup in Nuggets history. But now, of course, that might go to Bruce Brown. DeMarcus Cousins. Who's the best number 4? Who's the best? Who's your favorite?
The best, I'm going to go with Kenyon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is Paul Millsap. Because he had the most iconic 2020 jersey ever. There's vote for
Millsap. Millsap. That was pretty good, actually. My favorite and the best was Kenyon Martin. Although I do not think George Karl would answer that question and say... He was his favorite. Okay, how about... Jalen Pickett's 20. Is he 24? I confused that.
Yes,
he's
24.
Okay, so Tyson Hunter is 4. The best 24s to ever do it. All right, we got some interesting ones here. We got Bill Hanslick. There's a lot of long-term Nuggets fans that would put Bill down. Antonio McDyess was my guy back in the day. Andre Miller was also kind of my guy. And then your boy, Mason Plumlee. Favorite number 24, best number 24.
Favorite, Mason.
You love Mason Plumlee.
Just because he fits so well.
He would be good.
He still fits to this day.
He still, I would not be mad at Mason Plumlee being back on the bench with the Nuggets.
The best one, though, is Andre Miller.
I would say so, even though I really liked McDice and he was a good player with this team, but they were a crap organization at that point. So best is Andre Miller. Favorite is also... McDice was my guy, but... when I was understanding the game more, Miller was the one, man. Like, you know why I loved Andre Miller? For many reasons, but he played like just like a guy would be at the rec league, just some pickup basketball. You know, he just had a different look about him. The bank shots and good little quick passes, and he looked like a rec player that just perfected that skill set. So there you go. Will one of these guys end up taking over that number and being some of the most legendary guys to ever do it? Who's your favorite? Is Strother your guy, the favorite of the draft picks then? Is he the one, or are you?
Yeah.
Are you kind of looking at?
I like all three picks, but Strother, he just reminds me of a lot of MPJ, and MPJ was my guy coming out of the draft, so yeah. I hope all of them have great long careers.
Maybe they'll land on all three of them. Imagine. All three land. And
having four of your five bench players already on the team.
Hey, it's got to happen sometime. There's teams that draft guys, and then you look back at the draft that year and go, whoa, that was when they built this team or rebuilt it or continued it.
Nuggets are the team that they just draft guys.
Yeah. And that's what you love. That's our favorite thing. That's the fans' dream. Is that you're building it all the way through the draft so we can watch these guys grow up, and then you're picking up some pieces as you go. But the core is through the draft. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us here. Okay, so I did my little Ted Lasso thing, Angel, just to kind of see what the hooligans are thinking on Twitter. Ted Lasso, bad, meh, good, or amazing? And I got amazing is leading, then good, then meh, then bad. You'd probably think I would vote amazing. I'm actually just going to vote good. It's good. It's a good show. Not amazing.
That's great.
No, good. It's good.
That's awesome for you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
You're going to love Ted Lasso. Oh,
if
man.
If I ever get around to
some
watching
some memories
it.
Will be made when you are watching this show.
I've seen clips on TikTok.
And you probably love those clips. They're amazing. Roy Kent? Jamie Tartt? They're soccer players. Oh. Not real ones. But
could have just been real ones. I wouldn't have known.
All you got to do is watch three seasons and give me out of 10 rating, and I buy you a beer. I'll even throw in two beers.
But what if I watch all of it and I honestly give it a 3?
Then I buy you two beers or a margarita. How about that? We'll go expensive. I'll buy dinner.
I'm good.
I'll take you to lunch, and I'll buy.
Brady, when do we have time for lunch?
That's true. We are on the air.
It's lunchtime right now.
Oh, I walked by the taco area. You haven't snuck back there yet.
I haven't seen it, no.
It's pork tacos, man.
Oh.
They're really good. So I hope they're all there by the time we hit 2 o'clock today.
We'll see.
For you.
I keep seeing people pass the window, so.
More activity than we've ever seen.
Yes.
Today. People are like, pew, I need another one. Tanner's made like 14 trips back there, so I don't know. I just think he's drinking the queso. I don't even think he's dipping it in.
I mean, better queso than the guac, I guess. Oh. If you could drink that.
Yeah, no. But that queso. Sarah, our lovely Sarah, who just, she sent out an email last week, and she's like,
was it last week? I felt like it was weeks ago.
Was it 2 weeks ago? Trip 4.
Like she sent that like 3 weeks ago. And we all got like, oh, Taco Tuesday. And then we showed up on Tuesday and there's no tacos.
Oh, you went back there? Where is it?
Like, wait, I thought it was Tuesday.
I was told there would be tacos.
Oh, it's next week. Oh,
yep.
And there's another week. It's not this week. It's today.
She's got this whole spread back there, man. It is like a taco. She's like a taco creating machine back there. And She's got the queso, she's got the onions chopped up, and everything that you could want on a taco. So, well done by her. Unfortunately, Angel, you may not.
I may not get back there
because Tanner's around in the. He's around in the bases.
Well, I mean, it's cool how this office is like set up. It has like two hallways almost.
You could run through the entire thing.
Tanner's
probably triple the amount of times that he's gone back there, but he's just going around.
Taking laps in the office.
And Micah, I don't think he's left that area back there.
No.
So he's probably drinking queso as well.
Oh, yeah. There's no straws here either.
So it makes you want to
taking turns.
You might want to be. They're doing queso shots.
No, I can't have another. You take this one.
No, more of that. No. Oh boy. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our tight knit brewing poll question of the day: is Russell Wilson, as it stands today, a Hall of Famer? And I think the consensus is no, but very close. Just don't have a bad year this year. Basically, you need to prove that last year was a fluke, right?
You ever done anything dangerous?
Yeah. And don't do any of that stuff. So basically, you got to go prove that last year was not a fluke. That's the big thing for me. So go vote on that one. Let us know what you think. Again, at thewholeshow.com. And let us know what you think. 12:45 the time. Let's jump out, take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Catch KFKA's own Jerry Schimmel back on the call for the Colorado Rockies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Welcome back into the show. The whole show powered by PDC Energy. There you go. That's good. Now that's a good tune right there. That's a rule. You got to let that breathe a little bit. Live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Check out our first advantage or our tight knit brewing poll question of the day. Is Russ a Hall of Famer? Wanting to narrow in on that just a little bit. All right. So yesterday we harped on the Rockies pretty good, or I did especially. And I was reading the article in the Denver Post. It's basically they put their article in a form of an argument back and forth, just like we do here, but it's they're writing at each other. So Sean Keeler and Patrick Saunders were going at it about Bud Black, about, should he be the scapegoat on all this? And we'll get into more of that. We got the Lonster on the First Advantage Hotline. Lonster, what's up? Our phones work, man.
Yes, it is great to have this thing working.
I know. It's fantastic, my friend. Hey, what's on your mind?
You know what? This Russell Wilson thing?
Yeah.
I'd say, you know what? Give him another year. I think he's close to a Hall of Fame. I say if he could turn this around, I'm going to say yes.
Do you think it's as simple as basically just proving that last year was a fluke?
Yes, I really do. I think with Peyton in there, I think he can get him turned around a little bit.
Yeah, it's amazing his story because he was on that. I thought it was a clear path to the Hall of Fame, and then obviously last year I think rocked all of us, and we take a step back. But still has a little work to do.
Mm-hmm, he does, but you get him in there and see what he does, and maybe we can get another playoff here going here.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, Lonster, what's for lunch today, man?
You know what? I had some pizza rolls for lunch. And
like the Totino's pizza rolls, or what kind of pizza?
No, we bought them at a pizza place.
Oh, nice. I am a sucker for a good pizza roll.
Oh, I am too. I mean, give me some pizza rolls and some iced tea. Man, I'm set up, ready to go.
Did you sprinkle some hot sauce on those rolls, man, or are they good the way they are?
They're good the way they are because they are a little messy when you get them.
Yeah, you got to be careful. And you put too much hot sauce on there, now you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, you got hot sauce going all over the place.
Mm.
You know?
I've been there, my friend. Lonster, yeah. It's good to hear your voice back on here. Our phone lines are working again. It's fantastic.
Oh, you know what? I've been waiting for you guys to get this thing hooked up for a long time. And it's like, I can't get into the question here.
I know. Growing pains here at the new building. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what? Get it working. You're good to go.
Good to go, man. All right. Appreciate your call. Have a good day.
Hey, you do the same thing.
All right. Do you think that Bud Black is going to be the scapegoat? Is that what's going to happen? Is, you know, hey, we got all these young guys Tanner's in love with, and is that what it's going to be? Is basically Bud just couldn't get the best out of this group we thought was going to be a 500 team.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. Dick Bonfert is going to have to admit that he was wrong or fire Bud Black. So which is it? Was Dick Bonfert wrong when he said this is a 500 team? Now, again, I know the injuries have decimated this team, but they weren't really good before everybody started getting hurt. They weren't really good before Chris Bryant. They weren't good. Let's face it, they were never really good this year. So does Dick Bonfert come out at the end of this with Bill Schmidt by his side and say, you know, injuries were bad, so we're just going to reload with this young group and Bud Black? Or does he come back and say, we really thought this was a more of a 500-type team, and we are going to find a guy that can get the best out of this team? Because clearly that's not what the case was. These injuries actually are going to help both Bud Black and Dick Monfort's case. Because him saying that this is a 500 team, but then you do factor in that Marquez and Chris Bryant again, and a lot of these pitchers going down, that's going to help his case. So I do wonder if this is the year to use Bud Black as a scapegoat, or if you can buy yourself one more year of just running it back with Bud Black and company.
Can't do it. we're talking about fans' frustration. Bringing Bud Black back for another year would not be the nail in the coffin, but the last thing of dirt in the hole.
Yeah, you've got to do something different. I still subscribe to the fact that I don't care who it is back there or in the dugout.
Rather than give Bud Black the opportunity to mess up these young guys, why don't you go get a coach or a manager? I don't know what they are in baseball, but
manager.
Somebody that's wearing a baseball uniform that's not playing to coach these young guys and to make them into a team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe it is a lot on Bud Black, but with the way it's constructed, it's hard for me to believe that there's anybody that's going to come in here and do that. Dude, I'm going to ask this. Is the Chris Bryant deal going to go down as one of the worst deals in Rockies history?
Probably.
He's played 92 games, and you're paying him $27 million a year.
In the reality, he hasn't been that good since 2017.
And you paid him knowing he was hurt, and now he's out still on the 10-day because of a heel injury. I mean, every way you can get hurt. Yeah, that'll get us started.
There's your positive.
There's our positive. You're paying.
But Nolan is back down. And Tolia, Tanner's boy.
Oh, man.
So for every positive, the Rockies will give you two negatives.
Well, I'm just looking at these contracts that the Rockies have signed. Now, is Charlie Blackmon, is he a free agent after this year? Because he's being paid.
I believe so.
He's being paid $15 million. 15. Marquez? $15 million. Sensatella? Not much, but still, 72. 7.2.
Oh, 72 million.
Yeah, 7.2 million. And just looking at your big chunks here. Kyle Freeland, 10.5. I agree with it. It's just not working out, I guess. Randall Grichuk's about 10 mil. Daniel Bard, 10 mil. Ryan McMahon, 9. Jerickson Profar, 7.7. It's a lot of cash going to these guys. Your boy, CJ Cron, 7.2. it's not a lot with all these guys. It's just those are the guys you're committing to for a long-term deal. 12:57 the time. Final hour of the whole show coming up next. Don't go anywhere.